Well, I couldn't be more excited on a first night than to have the opportunity to have Bob Smith open up and Clyde Gilman close us out on that night. Both these men have been a blessing to me, and I like having them together because they're buddies. You know, there's something that attracts people to one another, and if it's not worldly stuff and sin, it's God and the book and their convictions. And the same thing that attracts us to one another repels some other people from us because they don't want that. And I appreciate men that stand true and are faithful. That's why I have so many of these older preachers in the pulpit. You know, they don't need to hear me. And I preach, it's my conference, but I need to hear them. You know, everybody's offended. We have the youth in this millennial, and I said that on purpose, millennials, it's all about me. They're offended because they're not speaking in some of these conferences, and I'm thinking, why would you even want to get up instead of a guy like Clyde Gilman to preach? You know, he'd been preaching 53 years. Amen. One church for 36 years and just recently made a great transition with a fine young man that came out of his ministry, doing a great job there. And I'm just thrilled to have Brother Gilman. I've never heard him preach that he didn't bless my heart, that he didn't get me under conviction, that it didn't challenge me. And I appreciate his testimony as well as Brother Smith's testimony. I love these guys and thank God for them. And so, Brother Jim Green, would you come? He and his family are going to come, I think, and they're going to sing for us. I always enjoy hearing the Greens sing. And they sing the right kind of music, sing it from the heart. God always uses them. So they're going to sing. And when they're finished, my good friend, Brother Clyde Gilman, is going to come up and preach a closing message of the night.
What a blessing. I surely love this meeting. It's always a blessing to get encouragement, see some preachers, the people of God serving God around the country. Now, Brother Angel wanted me to mention the Sons of the Prophets conference that's going on in the afternoons, tomorrow afternoon as well as Wednesday afternoon, some great preaching starting at 2 o'clock. Now, this isn't just for preacher boys. This is for young ladies that would like to come. Some of you preachers want to hear some more preaching. Brother Bob Smith is preaching first tomorrow afternoon at 2. Brother Bob Hughes was supposed to preach at 3, but somebody else is coming in his spot. And then at 4, Brian Sharp will be preaching at 4. In between those, there's preacher boys preaching. There's a contest. So if your preacher boys get a message ready, we want you to be ready to preach 5 or 6, 7 minutes, whatever time we have for each one of those. And then Wednesday's the same thing. Brother Gipps preaching first, and Brother Angel's preaching second, Brother Corus preaching third. That's 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the afternoon with preacher boys in the middle. And I hope you all can come and enjoy. It's upstairs still, right, brother? Upstairs in the Spanish auditorium up there, beautiful place. Don't forget to go by the local church Bible publishers. We've got all the church Bibles out there and some other things on the table that you want to look at. Brother Angels will be preaching at our servants retreat in September. Pick up one of those brochures. It's at Mackinac Island at the Grand Hotel. You don't want to miss that. Let's sing It's Been Worth Every Mile. Amen. It surely has been. Amen. It's been worth every mile.
There have been many trials I've faced since I started on this race. There have been times it seemed no hope was in sight. There have been times that the valleys seemed so long, dark and cold. But my Lord has been there every step of the way. Would never come. But my Lord remembers and answers every prayer.
Sing it with us if you know it.
It's been worth every hazard, man. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we cross. It's been worth everything that we faced in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face.
Any pastor in this church has experienced verse number 3.
There have been many friends I've met as I traveled along the way, who have said, I'll be with you all the way. They have turned and they're gone, leaving me standing all alone. But my Lord has been there every step of the way.
Sure He has. Sing it with us now.
It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we cross. It's been worth everything that we faced in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Thank you, Dr. Smith. I love Dr. Smith, and he's helped me through the years as I've watched him. Been around him. He's rubbed off on me. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for being my friend. And thank you, church, for letting me come this year. I'll tell you a couple of stories about me coming. I closed out a meeting in Amarillo last Wednesday for Brother Randy Taylor in one of his regional conferences, and then I headed home on Thursday and got sick on the way home and been sick all these days, and got worse yesterday. And I told my wife about 10:30 last night, I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And about 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up and felt better. And so I called my wife in the dark, and I said, I get up, I need some help packing my suitcase. She said, you going? I said, I am. And then I got to Denver. I had a layover there in Denver, and word had got out that I was sick and might not come, might not make it. And so Mrs. Coral contacted my daughter, Kimberly, who is the CEO of me. And she knew Kimberly would know. And so Kimberly called me in Denver, said, Dad, they want to know, are you going to be there? Are you going to make it? And I said, yes. And so the only number I had in my briefcase was Dr. Angel's cell phone. So I called him from Denver, and I said, Brother, I'm just letting you know I'm on my way. I'm going to be there. And I let him go. And then when we got to Chicago, and Brother Scott and his dear wife picked me up, I put my cell phone in my pocket. And every time the car hit a bump, it called somebody. No, I'm serious. It was just turned just right. And finally, I heard it ringing, and I answered it. It was my daughter, Kimberly. She said, Dad, you called me twice. I said, well, I've got it in my pocket, and evidently it's just... Every time I hit a bump, it called somebody. In a few moments, Dr. Angel called Brother Scott on his phone. He said, "Have you got Dr. Gilman with you?" He said, "I do." He said, "Well, he's called me twice in the last few minutes." So, and then tonight, I wasn't sure who was going to pick me up, and it's close to 6:30, so I called Dr. Angel again because it said in the letter that I could call him. Wait a minute. I didn't read the last phrase. I read it after. The last phrase, it said, "If you have an emergency." No, "If you have an emergency, call me." I saw that afterwards, so I called him. Next year, Dr. Angel will not put his cell phone in those letters. I'm glad to be here. And this is a good place, great spirit. Thank you, Faith Baptist Church. I'm going to preach on the subject tonight. What is your problem? Good to see some of my dear folks that used to be in Bella Vista, Mike and Claudia Manning and their family up in Elgin with Brother Gomez. God bless you. Thank you for driving down, Mike, Claudia. Thank you. But Jacob Chavis, graduated from Providence, drove down, just started a new job up there. Thank you. Good to see you all. Jennifer South is in Providence. Her and some of the girls drove down. God bless you. Good to see you all. In Luke's Gospel, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15, preaching on the subject, what is your problem? Verse 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that you'd take the message that Dr. Smith brought and hide it in my heart and help me to think on it often, use it. Now, Lord, I'm here tonight because I need your help to preach. My voice is a little bit weak tonight. I pray you'd strengthen my voice. But more than that, that you'd touch me and anoint me to preach. Lord, I'd like to do a good job preaching tonight for you. You call me. I'd like to do a good job preaching for these people. They've come to hear preaching. But Lord, I need you to show up and help me to preach. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your problem? In Luke chapter 15, there are five different people that have a problem. It starts out with the Pharisees. They've got a problem in verse number 2. They have a problem with this man. And then after that, the other stories Jesus gave in answer to the problem that the Pharisees had. And all of these stories in Luke chapter 15, each one of them had a problem. The Pharisees had a problem. Then the shepherd that had 100 sheep and lost one, he had a problem. And then the woman that had 10 coins and lost one, she had a problem. And then the prodigal son, he had a problem. And then the father, who is a type of the Lord Jesus because he receives sinners, he had a problem. And then the elder son, who refers back to the Pharisees of verse number 2, had a problem. All of these had problems. And all of them got their problems fixed except one. The Pharisees never got their problem fixed. The elder son never got his problem fixed. All of the others got their problems fixed. So I want to preach tonight on what is your problem. First of all, the Pharisees. They had a problem. Verse number 2 said they murmured. You know somebody's got a problem when they murmur. They murmured and they said, "This man!" That was their problem. And they had a problem with this man on who he received. And they said, "This man receiveth sinners," and for them that was a problem. And they said, not only does he receive sinners, he sits down and eats with them. And that was a problem for the Pharisees. They had a problem about who he received. They had, all through the Gospels, the Pharisees, the hypocritical Pharisees, they had a problem with Jesus and who that he said he was. They said one time, are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew what that meant. That's a statement of eternal existence. And they knew what that meant. And they had a problem with who he said he was. They had a problem with what he said. Not only who he said he was, I am, but when he had preached, they had a problem with what he said. The Pharisees had a problem. The Pharisees, let me mention just a few of their problems and see if you might have one or two. Number one, they had a problem with a holier-than-thou attitude. No, the Pharisees, they had a problem, but they felt like they were more religious, they were more godly, they were better, they were holier than anybody, and that's a problem. Hey, if you look down at anyone, you got the same problem. One of their problems was holier than thou. One of their problems was Jesus said they say and do not. Hey, preacher, if you don't practice what you preach, you got a problem. And you create problems for a lot of other folks. They had a problem of saying but not doing. And the Pharisees had a problem in that they were clean on the outside. But they were dirty and wicked on the inside. They had a problem. We face the same problem today where a lot of folks, they look good on the outside. They look like a fundamentalist. On the look. On the outside. But they got a problem. They're dirty on the inside. Amen. Pharisees had a problem. One of their problems was a boasting. I think it's over in chapter 18, remember, where the two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. And he had a problem of boasting. And he began to pray, the Bible said, with himself. And he told God, boasting to God. And he told God how good he was. He said, I fast twice a week, give tithe of all I possess. He had a problem with boasting. I have a problem with those who are boasters. I don't like to be around boasters. Do you? I mean, you don't have to be around them but a moment and boy, they're telling you about them. And I try to find a way just as soon as I can to excuse myself. The Pharisees had a problem with boasting. They had a problem with judging. Now, I got a long list. One of these may fit you. Huh? I mean, I said, what I'm telling you about their problem, but I'm here to preach tonight on what is your problem. Judging? That's one of our gifts. No. We got a talent in that area. Of judging others. Pharisees had a problem. They had a problem. They like to make long prayers. Hey, Pastor, do you ever call on, in church, do you ever call on Sunday morning, you call on somebody to pray? And they hadn't prayed all week, and they're trying to catch up. No, you've been there. I mean, they hadn't prayed all week, and man, they go on and on and on. And Jesus said they love to make long prayers. Hey, preachers, I got a suggestion. Nothing wrong with long prayers. No, nothing wrong with that. I got a suggestion. Maybe you ought to switch that thing around instead of long preaching. Yeah, pick up long prayers instead of long preaching. They had a problem. They loved to be called rabbi. In our day and time, they loved to be called doctor. Oh, he introduced me. He didn't call me doctor. Oh, he wrote me a letter. He didn't put doctor. No, I'm not stretching it too far. The Pharisees had a problem. What is your problem? You have any of the problems that the Pharisees had? The list is long. The second person in this chapter that had a problem was the shepherd. The Bible said that he had 100 sheep and one of them had strayed and was lost. And for that shepherd, that was a problem. Hey, wait a minute, sir. Where are you going? I've got a lost sheep out there. I'm going to see if I can find that lost sheep. Wait a minute, sir. Don't you still have 99 in the fold? Well, yes. Isn't that enough? No! No, he had a problem with one sheep being lost. No, 99 is not enough. Not if you're God. Not willing that any should perish. I've preached this through the years and I believe this. If there had been just one sinner in the world, I believe there would have been a Bethlehem and Calvary. And what's even more amazing, if it had been me. If I'd have been the only lost sinner, I believe that there would have been a Bethlehem and I believe there would have been a Calvary. You see, 99 is not enough. He would have come for one. He had one lost sheep. He had a problem. Hey, if there's just one in your family that's lost, you ought to have a problem. Oh, no. If it's just one in the family on the road to hell, you ought to have a problem. Or if it's just not the family, but if you've got just one friend that's lost, you ought to have a problem. If you've got a co-worker that's lost, you ought to have a problem. I'm saved because of a co-worker. 18 years old, living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, working on a job, came from a small town in New Mexico. No one ever knocked on the door. No one ever gave out a gospel tract. I didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. I'd never heard that He was the Son of God. 18 years old, I'm working with a bunch of route men, and one of them was different. All the rest of them would come in every morning cussing and telling dirty jokes, but this man, he didn't hang around and listen to their dirty jokes. He was different. Named Fred Esau. And one day when all the other route men were gone, he came over to me and he said, Clyde, he said, are you a Christian? I said, I don't know. What's a Christian? He worked with teenagers. He told me what a Christian was, told me about Jesus being the Son of God and coming to the earth and dying on the cross and paying for sins and being raised from the dead. And he told me how to be saved. And then he said, Clyde, if I'd come by and pick you up Sunday, would you go to church with me? I said, yeah, I guess so. Hey! He drove all the way across Tulsa, Oklahoma back in 1959. He had one of those big old long station wagons and he had it full, but he had room for one more teenager. He took me to church and I'll sit right back over there, and the preacher came out that morning and preached the gospel. He told it again. I went back a couple of weeks later, and he preached the same message, I think, on the Lord Jesus and who He was. And then one night, 407 North Denver Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, that preacher knocked on my door. I answered the door, and he had not taken that soul winning course where you're supposed to hide a New Testament in your jacket. He just stood there with a big black Bible under his arm. He said, "Clyde, could I come in and talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." There in my living room, he and I both knelt. He showed me the gospel again. I got saved because of a co-worker. I'm just saying, if you've got a lost family member, a lost friend, or a lost co-worker, you ought to have a problem. Shame on us if we don't have a problem with that. The shepherd had a problem. The woman had a problem. She had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. And boy, she lights a lamp and gets the broom and begins to get the dirt out, and she's looking for one coin. And lady, wait a minute. What are you doing? I'm looking for a lost coin. Well, how many you got left? I got 9. Isn't 9 enough? No. No. She lost something that was profitable. Hey, if you lost something that's profitable, you ought to have a problem. Paul said, bring John Mark, he's profitable. It looks to me like where we're at today, we've lost some profitable things. One of them he was preaching about a while ago. The touch of God, the power of God, we've lost some profitable things. She had a problem. Then that brings us to the prodigal son. He had a problem. First problem he had, he didn't have enough money to promote his sin. He didn't have enough money to finance his sin. Hey, you know in our cities every morning multitudes wake up and their problem, they don't have enough money to buy their dope that day. And they're going to get it somewhere. And that creates problems for us. Well, the boy had a problem. Evidently, for him to leave the farm and dad and go to the far country, he may have had a problem with the rules. Hey, teenager, you got a problem with mom and dad's rules? I got to get out of here. All these rules. Some folks in our churches have problems with our rules. Our requirements. The Bible said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has some requirements. The prodigal had some problems. Let me mention two or three to see if we might have one. One of his problems was wasting. Does America have that problem? Huh? One of his problems was he spent all. You got that problem? Have you maxed out your cards? Huh? You got a problem? Preacher, I maxed out all my cards. I've spent all. America has done more than spend all, $19 trillion more. And I know what some of you are thinking, that, well, I've spent all, I've maxed out my cards, but I've got that problem fixed. I made application for 2 more cards. And they're in the mail. He had a problem. He had spent all. He had a problem he was living for. Himself. He had a problem. He ran out of money. I've been there before, haven't you? Huh? Run out of money. He had a problem. The Bible said, no man gave to him. No one to help. That's a problem. Hey, when you get in trouble and you're in the ditch and there's no good Samaritan to come get you out of the ditch and no man gave to him. He had a problem. No one cared. Well, quickly I'll tell you, the prodigal son got his problem fixed. Yep, he got his problem fixed by coming home. No. You see, he went away to Satan's worst. He came home to God's best. He went away to sin. He came home to serve. He went away to husk. He came home to honey. He went away to false friends. He came home to family. He went away to emptiness. He came home to fullness. He went away to a famine. He came home to a feast. Got his problem fixed. He went away to loneliness. He came home to fellowship. He went away to loss. He came home to gain. He went away and was marred. He came home to be made a vessel of honor. He went away in rebellion. He came home in submission. He went away and broke his father's heart. He came home to forgiveness. He got his problem fixed. He went away to reproach. He came home to take away the reproach. He went away to sadness. He came home to rejoice and let us be merry. He went away to live in the dirt. He came home to work the dirt. He went away to waste. He came home to be fruitful. Hey, he went away with his pockets full. He came home to everything. He went away to filthiness, hog pens. He came home to cleansing. He went away to spend, but he came home to be spent. He went away to darkness. He came home to walk in the light. He went away to sow to the flesh. He came home to sow to the Spirit. He went away to corruptness. He came home. Got his problem fixed. Came home to holiness. He went away and was lost. He came home and was found. He went away to death. He came home to life. He went away to be a servant of Satan. He came home to be a son of God. He got his problem fixed. The next guy in the story that has a problem is the father, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I know that is because in verse 2, they said, "This man received the sinners," and the story is about a father receiving his son. The father had a problem. What was his problem? A prodigal. If you've got a prodigal, you know what I'm talking about. You've got a problem. That father had a problem. And the problem was that his son had gone to the far country. Was lost. Maybe dead, because he said he was dead and was alive. The father had a problem with that prodigal boy. And then the elder son. He's out in the field. The boy has come home. The younger boy has come home. His father hath received him safe and sound. He's killed for him the fatted calf, and they're having a party. And the elder son, who's a type of the Pharisees, comes and he draws nigh to the house and he hears a party going on. And one of the servants come out and the elder brother said, "What's going on?" And he said, "You haven't heard? Your younger bud has come home. And your father hath received him safe and sound. And hath killed for him the fatted calf." The Bible said he was angry. He's a Pharisee. He was angry and he would not go in. Hey, wait a minute. The elder son had two problems. One was his brother. The other was his dad. He had a problem with his brother. He said, "He's lived with harlots. He's wasted your inheritance." Had a problem with his brother. Then he had a problem with his father for receiving him. Back to verse 2. This man receiveth sinners. And the elder son had a problem. And let me close like this and listen. All of the people in Luke chapter 15 got their problems fixed except the elder brother, except the Pharisees. And their problem got worse. In this way. Here in verse number 2, they're just murmuring, "This man!" They're murmuring. Later on, they call for his crucifixion. Later on, they're saying, "Away with him! Crucify him!" Their problem got worse. May I tell you tonight, I don't know how many problems you got, but if you don't fix them, they're going to get worse. No. If you don't fix them, they're going to grow and they're going to get worse. We ought to start working on getting some of our problems fixed. What is your problem? You stand with me, please. Now, the first thing we have to do is be honest and acknowledge that we have some problems. No, don't stand there and say, "Well, I don't have any." That's the Pharisee. Just humble ourselves and say, "You know what, I do have some problems. Better get them fixed. They'll grow. They'll get worse, and no telling what." You ought to start on your knees at an altar, getting some problems fixed. Perhaps one of the purposes of this conference was to come and get some problems fixed. You think so? To come and go home and have gotten some problems fixed. Father, help us, help us, help us. Lord, you sure have fixed a lot of problems for me. But I've not arrived, and Lord, oh God, I pray that you'd deal with me every day about problems. Some of them that I've created myself. Lord, help folks in our churches to get their problems fixed. Help preachers to get their problems fixed. Help pastors to get their problems fixed. And God, help America. She's got lots of problems. Take charge of the invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name. And amen.